We're back. Dom, how's it going? JUCO Products.
What's going on, Curtis? I'm doing great. Happy to be back.
Yeah, I am too. We took a little break there for the holiday, and then you started school back up, so our schedules didn't align. But, you know, things come up, but we're back, and that's all that matters.
For sure. Let's get her going.
Yeah, let's get her going. First off, I want to, send my condolences to you. A hard-fought season there for the Buffalo Bills, but, all good things have to come to an end.
Sometimes you got to lose, and, you blow 16-0 leads sometimes. That's life.
Well, at least you don't blow 24-0 leads in the first quarter. Ooh.
We didn't do that.
We didn't do that. Yeah, so I guess that we've decided we wanted to talk a little baseball. Obviously, with all the scandal with stealing signs going down and all the managerial firings, me being a Red Sox fan, Dom wants to take some shots at me. So,
oh yeah.
So let's get it out, Dom. Let's hear what you got to say.
Well, first off, Houston. What happened there is just ridiculous, in my opinion. And the first sign that I saw of them cheating and whatnot is when Altuve hit that walk-off home run off Chapman. He's running around third base. He's telling his teammates not to rip his shirt off. And what could that be? Well, I'm thinking he's probably has some sort of buzzer device on him telling him it's a curveball slider coming. So it's basically, at that point, batting practice to the guy, which is absolutely ridiculous, in my opinion. And it's 100% cheating.
Well, when I was watching that live, because I remember staying up late and watching that game and watching him hold his jersey on, I didn't think of anything at the time, because you never think, like, especially at that moment, you're not thinking that. You're thinking, wow, he just hit a walk-off home run to go to the World Series. But then he sprints to the dugout holding his jersey and into the clubhouse. And I thought that was really strange, because when he did come back out, he had his shirt wide open and, it was no big deal. And you never see a guy hit a walk-off home run, send his team to the World Series, and then sprint into the dugout and then into the clubhouse like that. Well, the rest of the team's out celebrating. So I definitely thought that was strange at the time, but I never thought anything like this. I don't know. I'm at a loss for words with it, and I don't think this. I think there's more to come. I think they're really going to uncover some really sketchy things about this, and definitely changes my perspective on Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve.
George Springer.
Yep.
Like all these guys,
Alex Bregman.
I saw an interesting statistic the other day from the 2017 playoffs. Jose Altuve at home hit 360.
Right.
With whatever, 20 RBIs,
six homers,
six homers, something like that. And then on the road, he hit 143 with one homer and two RBIs.
Yeah. But I'm not so sure about that graphic. I saw it too, but if they're doing it at home, I guess hypothetically they probably can't do it away, because they said they were filming from center field. So yeah, that would make sense. I was just thinking, like, well, why couldn't they do it on the road if they're doing it at home, if they're wearing wires? But they don't have that filming technology in center field in away games, so that makes sense now. It's not good.
It's very unfair.
It is unfair. Oh, absolutely. And it definitely tarnishes what they've done the last 3 years. But
I mean, they got a heck of a ball club still. They got great players and stuff like that. But
I guess we'll find out how great they are this year.
Yeah, taking a look at this stuff, I don't really know if they deserve to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of feel bad for the Yankees, because – and this is the reason I don't think the Yankees were doing anything, because Aaron Boone was the first person to start complaining about some real sketchy stuff going down. If he didn't complain, that would mean that the Yankees were doing it too.
Actually, Dom, the first person to complain about this was Justin Verlander, who was part of both of those Astro teams. He complained 17, he said, that MLB's got to do a better job with sign stealing because it's, you know, it's getting really bad, and it's bad for the game and stuff like that. And then turns out the team he'd been a part of is the lead, you know, they were the worst of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Aaron Boone just wouldn't go out and say that, you know.
Right.
If everybody was doing it, I guess it would be all right. But if, you know, a couple teams are using technology to steal signs, you know, that's cheating. You know, they should put an asterisk up against that World Series. They should really just take it away from them, honestly. That's bullshit.
Yeah. You feel bad for the Yankees in a sense. But you got to remember, in 2017, the Yankees and Red Sox both were fined for using technology for their advantage. You know, not specifically sign stealing, but they were both fined in 2017 for that. So yes, I mean, the worst of it happened to them, but at the same time, they were caught doing something too.
Mm-hmm. I don't really recall what they were doing.
I don't either. I don't remember. I just remember both teams were fined for it in 2017. I'd have to do a little bit more digging into that. But it definitely happened. I was just reading an article about it. What the heck was it? It might have involved sign stealing, some sort of using a tech room to, and I don't think it was sign stealing. They were trying to use video, like live in game, to see if they can catch pitchers tipping pitches or something like that. Both teams were doing that. And that's actually what the Red Sox, from what I understand, that's part of what the Red Sox are being investigated for now, is that same thing. Mm-hmm. But it's being taken so serious because it is their second offense. But the thing that frustrates me the most with all of this is, first of all, Houston's the one that – the reason Alex Cora was fired is his association with the Astros cheating scandal. It has nothing to do with the Red Sox. They've even come out and said that they're like, we don't believe it's happened here. The MLB is investigating it, but we feel like we're going to be fine. We're going to get punished. There's going to be some sort of, we'll lose picks, we'll be fined again. They've come out and said, I'm pretty sure that the only thing that the Red Sox are being investigated for now is the using the room to check to see if we could catch pitchers tipping pitches, which I still firmly believe every team does that. I don't quote me on that, but I do. I think every team does that, as the Red Sox and Yankees were both fined for that in 2017. The Red Sox haven't been found guilty yet. The Yankees they have a pending investigation with the whole Carlos Beltran situation. I don't think anything will really come out of that, but you know, when a Yankees fan comes to me and starts giving me shit about it, I remind them of 2017 when they were also fined, and I remind them that they're under investigation right now too, or have a pending investigation right now too, because of Carlos Beltran's association with the organization
Beltran was the associate to Brian Cashman, so
right,
he's out developing scouting players. He really isn't even in the building that much, to be perfectly honest with you. His role was to scout players.
Right, no, and I understand that, but I just – the fact of the matter is Yankees fans are coming at Red Sox fans right now because we're being investigated, but the Yankees are being investigated too. It's not just a one-way street.
And rightly so. Alex Cora was a big part of that bullshit that happened in Houston.
Right, and Carlos Beltran was as
well. He was a player. He was out trying to win a World Series.
Right, but the fact of the matter is they were both involved. Both teams are being investigated right now. Let's just see how this plays out. I think that they're gonna dig into this. I mean, there's gonna be something with the Red Sox. It's obvious Alex Cora was the ringleader of all of this, and you know, we'll see what happens with it all. But they're both gonna get penalized. The Red Sox are definitely gonna get some sort of penalty. The Yankees, I don't think that there was probably much going on there with the Beltran thing, but they got to look into it.
Yeah,
they have to.
You got to look into the whole league. This is a league wide issue.
Absolutely, and that's another thing that frustrates me is people are narrowing this down to just a couple organizations. I believe all teams are doing this. This is not it.
Yeah. It's just like every team has somebody that uses steroids. You know.
Right. Right.
or everybody has a gambling problem, you know? It's just ridiculous, you know. This stuff has, you know, if every team was allowed to use technology to steal signs, I'd be okay with it. But one or two teams doing it because they have a chance to win the World Series is absolute garbage.
Right. Yeah. It's so hard with the game of baseball because of technology. I have a lot of appreciation for baseball, you know, coming down so hard on these organizations and you know, and these ball clubs firing their managers, because you take a look at the NFL and the Patriots have been doing shit like this for years, and Bill Belichick still has a job. Mm-hmm. No, they lose draft picks every once in a while, which, you know, that hurts Belichick, but you know, he's not going to stop doing it until he gets a suspension or a firing. He just did it again this year. Yeah. I mean, he's done it. He's a repeat offender. He's done it 4 or 5 times. Don't get me wrong. I think he's probably one of the greatest coaches that ever lived, arguably the greatest. But at the same time, there has to be some sort of penalty. He has to be tarnished in some way.
That statement there is even pending, in my opinion. If you're cheating all the time, you know, getting signs and and videotaping people's or team sidelines, you know, you're getting key elements to your game. You know, you know what's going to be happening. You know, I get it. You still got to go out there and perform, just like in baseball. You still, like Altuve still needed to hit drill.
He still has to make. Yeah, he still has to hit that ball square.
But when you know when stuff is coming, it's easier. You know, it's just like cheating on a test. You know. The Quizlets are there, you know. You just gotta put the answer in, and you get 100. You know,
right?
It's ridiculous. Yeah, and it makes me think, if the Patriots were playing by the rules this whole time, would they have 6 Super Bowls? I don't really think so.
You don't think?
No,
so?
I don't think so. They shouldn't have won that first Super Bowl because the Raiders got screwed.
I would agree with you that they probably don't have 6, but they still have
3. I have a couple. I would agree with that, but they don't deserve 6.
They don't win the Rams one without that game or without the they were caught videotaping the Rams walkthrough. I don't think they win that Super Bowl.
It was deflating footballs. They won that Super Bowl.
Yeah, but they blew the Colts out of the water that Super Bowl.
I really don't care. Mm-hmm.
They were beating the Colts that night if they were playing with hockey pucks. Yeah.
But he was deflating footballs the whole season.
Right. But I disagree with you on that year. But the Rams Super Bowl, I really think the Rams win that Super Bowl if that's the case. You could argue the Panthers Super Bowl, that when they played the Panthers too, they were caught. You could argue that the Panthers might win that one. And then the only other one I can think of that's probably it. They probably still have 4 or 5.
Yeah, and if Brady goes to another team, he's gonna suck.
You think
he's gonna suck? He does. He's not gonna have his boys anymore. He's gonna be in a terrible system, and he's gonna be garbage. That's why he was so good all of his time in New England. First of all, they were cheating. And he had somewhat of a mastermind. You know what? You're not going to be going to a system where you're cheating and you have a decent system anymore. Right. And the referees aren't going to protect you like he's been protected his whole career. You touch Brady, it's a 15-yard penalty. You know.
I think that wouldn't change. I think the reffing wouldn't change because he still has that relationship with all those refs. And I think it depends on the situation because I think he wants to leave because he wants to try to prove to everybody that he can do it without Belichick and without the Patriots. But if he falls in the right situation, I think he could be successful. One place that's interesting to me and I think could possibly work out for him, for just that, you know, I think he only wants to do it for a year or two, would be Tampa Bay with Bruce Arians.
That's
a talented team. Jameis Winston plays the entire season the way he played the last like 7 or 8 weeks, and you know he doesn't throw 30 interceptions. If he had a quarterback that cut that interceptions in half, cut that down to 15 interceptions, and still keeping that 30 touchdowns, which Brady's never going to throw 30 interceptions, that team probably goes 11-5. Mm-hmm. They went 7-9 with Jameis Winston. They have a good defense, a good core of young, solid defenders, and actually they have a linebacker that I think he's one of the most underrated linebackers in the league. And I can't remember his name. It's like DeAndre or Leandre or something like that. I can't remember his name, but he's solid. And he's definitely one of the most underrated linebackers in the league. They have a good offense. They got tons of weapons with a good quarterback. I really think in Bruce Arians, I think that they could go 11-5 or 12-4 this past year. They were good, pretty good football.
Yeah, they were decent. They were pretty good.
So I think that would be a good situation for Brady. There's not many out there though. I've heard rumors of Miami. I think that would be awful. That's a bad football team. I don't care who they get in the first round this year. They're still going to be so young.
Oh, I hear that there's some stirrings that his wife might be buying the team.
The Dolphins, really? Yeah. And I think that'd be a good thing, honestly, down the road, like once he is retired. I could see him being in the football operations as maybe even a GM. With as much as he's learned from the Patriots and, Belichick, as far as getting talent for cheap, I think he could do a good job with that. But as far as playing goes, I don't see that. I think they'd be awful.
He's going to run the video operations.
Yeah.
And the deflating football operations.
I know I like Tom Brady a lot. I'm a Steelers fan, so that's hard for me to say, but I thoroughly enjoy Tom Brady. With everything that's happened, I still think he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
He's an asshole. I can't stand listening to him or Belichick talk.
I know you can't, but I'm reading their book right now, the Belichick and Brady book, written by Michael Hawley, and it's pretty interesting to get inside their minds and get inside the organization and people around them.
Who wrote that? Who wrote that book? Nancy Pelosi?
No, Michael Hawley.
Probably works for the House Democrats.
It's a good book, actually. I think you'd enjoy it. It talks about the cheating scandals. It dives into everything, the Bledsoe and Brady, situation. It goes into detail about that. I'm enjoying it. I'm about halfway through it right now. Have you watched the new 30 for 30 on Aaron Hernandez yet?
I did.
Or not the 30 for 30, the Netflix special.
Yes, it was very good.
I watched it last night, and I'll tell you what, it really changes my mind on. He's a bad guy. He murdered potentially four or five people. He got the double homicide. He was found not guilty, but I still think he did it. I think he shot that guy in the face in Florida, and got away with it. And I think that there was that. They only mentioned it real quickly, but that killing it when he was in college, and they said the description of 6'5" male Hawaiian or Hispanic fled the scene. I wouldn't doubt that he did that too.
Yeah.
And he definitely killed the one guy that he was found guilty of. But that just that little segment at the end where they talked about his CTE or having CTE and showed his brain scans, like he was messed up in the head.
Yeah.
Like, he was mentally ill. And so it's unfortunate that it came to that, but it really changed my mind. I hated Aaron Hernandez. I thought he was just an absolute shit person. But when they dived into his life story a little bit, and then they talk about the CTE issue after he passed away, it changes your perspective a little bit, because especially how highly people talked about him before his dad died. And then when his dad died, it seemed like he kind of just went off the deep end.
Oh, yeah. It's just the rise and absolute just crumble of a human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really cool to hear some of his conversations while he was in prison with like his former teammates like Mike Pouncey from Florida and then his fiance, and then hearing some of the things he says to his mom. Man, my girlfriend almost started crying when he was talking to his mom about how she ruined him by After a month after his dad dies, starts dating a new guy.
That was and his aunt's husband.
Right, right, right.
Are you kidding me?
Well, and especially with how close he was to his dad, and you know, in dealing with that 1 month after that, and having that a family member move into your house, that would mess anybody up.
How? I mean, is that even legal?
No, probably not. So no, that I love that. I probably will watch it again, just so I can pay attention. I like to watch things a second and third time so I can catch some details that I didn't catch the first time. So I'll probably watch that again, and then I might have a whole different perspective on it. But right now, I kind of feel sorry for the guy.
Yeah, because it seems like as a young man, he was very, you know, he was a good guy.
Right.
And one too many blows to the head and just hanging out with the absolute wrong people. But
right.
And, you know, CT plays a part of that. I'm not going to, you know, throw all my cards into the way he was because of CTE, because people no. just don't go around shooting people for no reason.
Right. Well, and that's my thing too, is I don't want to sit here and blame CTE for everything of it. But there are CTE definitely played a factor. He's definitely mentally ill. And the fact that I think what happened with his dad and then his mom really screwed him up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't blame it all on that. It definitely is. It has something to do with the people he surrounded with. He surrounded himself with some bad dudes. He had the world in his grasp, and he threw it all away, which is too bad.
You take a look right after his dad died. His body was covered in tattoos. Like,
yep.
People just don't do that.
No, and that was the one thing that caught my eyes. High school, all the way through high school and everything, no tattoos. It was kind of crazy to see him without all those tattoos. And then instantly, as soon as he hit Florida University, he just started piling up the tattoos all over his body.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't have anything against tattoos. Actually, I think they're pretty cool. They're a work of art. But some of the stuff he was having tattooed on him and how many he was getting is what was a little alarming.
Yeah, and honestly, I think his brain was telling him that he was innocent.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he had might have a small, like, case of maybe, like, multiple personality disorder or something like that, because showing that surveillance video from inside his house minutes after he killed one of his friends, and he's, he's in there dapping up his friends, talking to him like it's nothing. Like, it's almost like he didn't even remember that he did that.
Yeah.
It was almost like that didn't happen to him.
That's sad. Really sad.
It is. Yeah, it is. Well, because he left a 4-year-old daughter at the time. I don't know how old she is now, but she's got to be 8 or 9. And then his fiance, who stuck by him through thick and thin. It is a tragic story.
And it turned out to be homosexual as well.
Yeah, I didn't. That was a real shocker to me. I definitely didn't expect that. That probably weighed on him some too. He always had to hide it from everybody, his dad, especially his dad and his teammates. So he had to act like that tough guy, that bad guy, when in reality he probably wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, too bad.
That was sad. Well, I guess while we're talking about football, let's talk football for a little bit. NFC and AFC championship games tomorrow. What do you think, Dom?
I'm pulling for Green Bay. I think they actually have a good shot in beating San Francisco. And everybody was giving Green Bay garbage, but you know, they played pretty well the other day, last week against Seattle, and it makes me think that they have a pretty good shot against that tough San Francisco team.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have any problems with the Green Bay and Seattle game. That whole did he pick up the first down or did he not pick up the first down thing, I think that was baloney.
Yeah.
To me, that line that is drawn on TV is that's not the real line to gain. It's usually off by about half a yard. Mm-hmm. he needed to get to, I can't remember what yard, but it was like the 24 or the, or something like that. He needed to get to like the 24 or something like that, or 34, whatever it was. And the line looked like it was at the 35 or the 40 or whatever it was. And it looked like he had gotten to that, the line he really needed to get to, but the line that the TV had drawn, that he didn't get to. So it made a big controversy. I saw a lot of different things on it. It's football. It's going, I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. It has nothing to do with the refs. It has nothing to do with replay. I think he got it. And a lot of people don't think he did, and it doesn't really matter. I don't think that really played a factor into the game.
No.
Because that was third down. And
no, it was fourth down.
Was that fourth
down? Yeah, it was fourth down.
It was fourth down. Oh, okay. I couldn't remember the situation. I thought it was third down for some reason. So even if Seattle gets that ball, who's to say they're going down the field and scoring a touchdown to win the game?
Yeah.
I mean, they would have been a tough situation. It would have been very tough to do.
Actually, no, it was third down. You're right.
Yeah, it was third down, because I even said, I was like, if they don't pick this up, but they're like half a yard short, they're going for it. So when they got stopped, I originally thought they were stopped short. I was like, they're going to go for this. Why wouldn't they? This is for the playoffs. And then their defense hasn't been playing too badly. They had given up a couple touchdowns late in the game, but I would have trusted my offense to go out there and get that half a yard to get the first down.
I mean, they really weren't playing Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins either. You know, Russell Wilson's pretty good. Last time
I know, but if I'm the head coach, if I'm Matt LaFleur in that situation, even if it is fourth down, I'm going for it. First of all, I'm going for it because think of all the things that have to go right for Seattle. They have to make that stop on fourth and centimeters, and then they have to drive the field to go score a game-winning touchdown with less than 2 minutes.
The Bills did it. Remember that? They stopped Watson on fourth and one.
And went and kicked a field goal. There's a difference between kicking a field goal and scoring a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, but if there was enough time, they might have scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't have any timeouts. They had to go the length of the field. There was less than 2 minutes. And first of all, they had to make the stop on fourth down. I would have, if I'm the head coach, I love my odds in that situation. Mm-hmm. I'm going for it.
I also think Aaron Rodgers is still better than Deshaun Watson.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But the fact of the matter is that none of that really even matters. They played a pretty good football game. They could have closed better, but they won. That's all that matters. And now they're headed to San Francisco for the NFC Championship game. And I like their chances, too. It's hard to bet against Aaron Rodgers, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I said, well, I was just going to say, especially when they're playing a quarterback who's never really been in this situation before, and Jimmy Garoppolo, who isn't the greatest talent of all time.
He's still good.
He's good. He's done some things well this year, but it's easy to play well when you got a tight end like George Kittle, a running game where you can literally put three different backs in the backfield, and all three of them could pick up 5 yards a carry. And you're throwing to receivers as talented as Emmanuel Sanders and that youngster Deebo Samuel. And then you got,
Goodwin.
I was about to say, well, you're not even thinking about it. You have probably the best defense in the league on the other side of the ball. So.
Yeah, pretty close. If not the best, pretty close.
Yeah, so I think San Francisco wins the game because I think that I think they're probably the most complete team left. They're definitely the most complete team left in the playoffs. So I like San Francisco's chance to win.
But I wouldn't be shocked if Green Bay pulls it out.
No. But I'm picking San Francisco. Who you got?
I'm going to pick Green Bay.
Green Bay. Okay. And they, like I said, I think it could go either way. And then on the AFC side, you got the hottest team in football right now, the Tennessee Titans, with their stud running back, Derrick Henry, and their quarterback who hasn't thrown for over 100 yards yet in the playoffs.
Really? He hasn't thrown for over 100 yards?
I don't know if he has, but if he has, he hasn't thrown for much more.
Hasn't really had to.
in the Patriots game, I think he only threw for 98 yards.
That's sad.
and then I don't know about the Ravens game. I can't remember, but I don't think it was. If it was over 100, it wasn't much over 100
Derek,
yards passing.
Yeah, he has, Derrick Henry threw a touchdown pass in that game. So,
right, he hasn't had to do. They haven't. He hasn't made any mistakes, but he hasn't been asked to do a ton. You know, and I think he's gonna have to throw the ball a lot this week when they play the Chiefs, because I think the Chiefs could go up and throw another 40 up this week. I mean, that offense is they're electric.
Dynamite. I mean, yeah. They threw 51 points up in three quarters.
Yeah. Yeah, they're dangerous. They could have another first quarter like they did last week, and then they could still score 50. I mean, that Patrick Mahomes is, in my opinion, he's the best player in football,
mm-hmm.
the best quarterback in football right now. I know Lamar Jackson, whatever, but when Patrick Mahomes is healthy, he does things that you wouldn't even think of on a football field.
Let's go back to Lamar Jackson. The way he played the other day is the way this is what I predicted him to be his NFL career.
What, he had 500 yards of total offense?
Wait, the other day he had 500 yards of total offense?
Yeah, he had 300 and some yards passing and 150 or 140 or something like that yards rushing.
Well, he didn't get the job done.
No, he didn't, but I can't really blame him for that. He had like 300 and some 60 some yards passing with three touchdowns, and he ran for 100 and some yards rushing.
I'm going to take a look at that. I don't believe that.
Take a look. Look it up. Tell me what his stat line was against the Titans.
Okay.
Wendy's 2 for 5, Dominic. Get out of here. We can't have any advertisement going on.
That segment was brought to you by the Wendy's 2 for 5.
Wendy's, if you want a sponsor, just let us know. I'm interested because I'm 99% sure he had almost 500. I don't know if he did have 500, at least almost 500 yards total.
I know he fumbled the ball a couple times, and
I think he threw one pick.
Okay. Yeah, Ryan Tannehill threw for 88 yards. He threw the ball 14 times.
See, I told you, he hasn't thrown for 100 yards yet.
Two touchdowns.
Yeah.
But Derrick Henry threw for 3 yards, so the quarterback play was 91 yards in the air.
Right.
Wow. Okay. Lamar oh wow, he did throw for 365 yards, but he threw the ball 59 times.
Right, I knew that. He threw it a lot, but he had 360 some yards passing, three touchdowns passing, right?
Yeah. No, he had one touchdown passing.
Oh right, it was
12.
12, duh. But he had how many picks did he throw?
Two.
Okay. I don't know why I had 3 and 1 in my head for some reason, but 1 and 2, and then he ran for over 100 yards.
I think the Titans' game plan was let Lamar Jackson throw the ball as many times as he wants, let him run around the field, but make sure you stop Mark Ingram.
Right. How many yards rushing did Jackson
143.
Have? So over 500 yards of total offense.
And most of that was garbage time.
Well, and yeah, I'm not sitting here saying that's not true either. But when you come out and you say that that's how you expected him to play his entire career, a 500 yard total offense, I think I'd take that from my quarterback any day.
Okay, but did he play good in this game? I really don't think so. In crucial moments of this game, he played like garbage.
He didn't make any big plays.
No, he didn't.
He didn't make any big plays.
Did he play much better in the regular season?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
These are the games that count. In my opinion, that's not an MVP.
Well, these are the games that count, and he's 0-2 in them.
Yeah. That's not an MVP in my book. Patrick Mahomes should be the MVP.
Unfortunately, the MVP award's given out based off of your regular season.
Yeah.
Which is, I understand it, but at the same time, but no, I agree with you. Like I said, I think Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL, mm-hmm. best quarterback. I don't like the whole best player in the NFL or all that bullshit. There's so many different positions. You have to pick a best player at each position. And I think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
I think he's the best player in the NFL.
It's so hard for me to say that because, there's, like I said, there's so many other positions. You want to say he's the best player, I want to see Patrick Mahomes go out and kick 50-yard field goals.
Okay. So you're saying Justin Tucker's the best player in the NFL?
Who? What? Justin Tucker? No, but he's the best kicker in the NFL. Oh,
for sure. But, yeah, I don't.
But that's what I. But that's what I'm saying. It's in NFL. It's not a sport you can say there's the best player in. You can. There's a best player in each position, but there's not a best player overall.
Go ahead. I bet you if he asked Mahomes to kick a 40-yard field goal, he might be able to do it for you.
Oh, and he might be able to do that, but in a game with pads on, a situation, I don't think he's gonna. So yeah, no. But I like I said, I love Patrick Mahomes, but I also like this Tennessee team.
They're good, man. They are good. Ever since they changed quarterbacks, they became a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill. The only thing that's I think the NFC wins the game or wins the Super Bowl if the Titans get there because Tannehill can't win in Miami. So,
dude, what did I tell you? Our first podcast, I said this Tennessee team is good. When you were saying, oh, they're not going to make the playoffs, the Steelers and the Bills are going to get that wild card and whatnot.
Yep.
I said Tennessee is a good team, man. They might even win that division.
Yeah. No, you did. You absolutely did. And look who's still standing from that division, Tennessee. Huh. Houston got outed last week. I think it's hard to pick against Pat Mahomes, but I like Tennessee in this game. I think I'm taking Tennessee.
I agree. They're hot right now. Their defense is playing on fire. You can't stop Derrick Henry when he's on.
No,
his
and
game.
This is a bad run defense of the Chiefs. This could be a nightmare scenario.
He's
going to
run
Chiefs
all
defense.
Over them.
Yeah, he ran all over them a couple of years ago in Kansas City when Alex Smith was still the quarterback. It was kind of his little bit of his coming out party. He ran all over that defense. And I think he's going to do it. I don't think it's out of question that he runs for 200 yards.
I don't know if I've ever seen a running back with his size and his speed. He's fast for a guy that's probably 250 pounds.
And he always comes out of nowhere. Like he has such a slow start to the regular season every year. He doesn't put up electric numbers. He has a couple good games, and then the second half, once you get to November and December football, it seems he just is lighting up the statistic categories all over the place every week. He's a free agent this year, I believe.
He's a free.
he's gonna make a lot of money this offseason.
Oh yeah.
He's going to make a lot of money, and Ryan Tannehill is going to make himself some money this offseason, too.
Probably with Tennessee.
Oh, they'd be stupid not to.
Give them both money.
Yep. I like Marcus Mariota, but he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. He thinks he is, and he's going to go out and try to play for a different team. But he's going to end up being a backup.
He should go play in the CFL.
He's going to be an RG3. He's going to be a glorified backup.
Those types of quarterbacks do not work out in the NFL.
Not long term. They have short success bursts of success, which Mariota had he took the Titans to the playoffs 2 years.
Yeah, but they were
9-7. They were 9-7 this year.
I know, but the times that he took the team to the playoffs, they were 9-7. They weren't a good team, and by no means did he play good in those seasons.
But they did win a playoff game against a good Chiefs
team.
That
was a fluke.
Well, yeah, they came back. They came storming back in that game. And that was Derrick Henry. A lot of it was, too. I think Marcus Mariota is a glorified backup. I think teams would be happy to take him as a backup because he can win you football games. If he could come in and take over an offense for a game or two, and probably, if he has to play four games, he probably wins you two. I wish the best for him, but like I said, I don't see him anything more than a glorified backup.
I mean, I guess any quarterback in the NFL can, if you play four games, you can win two. That's why they're there.
Oh, I disagree. I think you throw Matt Barkley in for four games, he wins you zero.
Well, Matt Barkley played one game last year, and he won that game.
Yeah, against a very bad, piss poor Jets team.
Well, you just said he can't win a game, and well, he won one.
Oh, against a bad Jets team. Look what he did against New England when he had to come in this year.
That's a tough situation.
It is. It is. Don't. I'm not saying that Matt Barkley can't play the game of football, but I like my chances to win a football game with Marcus Mariota more than with Matt Barkley.
Matt Barkley's really good. Like in Pittsburgh, the fourth quarter, 10 minutes to go, Renegade comes on. He's really good at waving the towel and stuff like that.
That wasn't even a towel. He's waving a jacket.
He's waving a parka.
Yeah, that was funny. He's funny. He's a good, and he's not a bad backup. Like I'm not trying to diss Matt Barkley, but at the same time, I'd rather have Mariota. Now, would I rather have Matt Barkley than Duck Hodges? I might rather have Matt Barkley.
Oh man, remember you were saying Duck Hodges was pretty good and whatnot.
He was balling out there for a while. And then I think teams, obviously, they started a game plan for him, and he came back down to earth quick. He came crashing back down
to
earth.
Yeah, they were game planning for when the ball came their way. Catch it.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
Yeah. He won't be on the team next year. I don't think he will be.
He's not going to be on any team. He's going to be in the XFL.
Well, he might be on our practice squad because that's where he was. He was on our practice squad anyway. And there might be a team that wants to take a chance on him as a backup. I wouldn't want to after what I saw the last, couple weeks when we really had a chance to get in the playoffs. I think if we would have just stuck it out with Mason Rudolph, I think we would have got in, but I'm glad we didn't.
He's not good either.
Well, because this Tennessee team deserved to be in before us. This Tennessee team is obviously proven that they're one of the best teams in the AFC all year long anyway.
So you're saying if the Steelers made the playoffs, you would be unhappy?
No, I would have been happy, but it would have really taken away from how great this Tennessee team really is.
Well, if Tennessee didn't make the playoffs, they wouldn't have deserved to make the playoffs.
I don't know about that. The team probably wouldn't have, but I think that falls on the coach for not pulling the plug on Mariota quicker. If Tannehill plays against the Bills, the Titans beat the Bills earlier in the year. If Tannehill is playing in a couple other games early in the year, they beat the whoever else they're playing.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel's done an excellent job.
He has, but that's what I'm saying. He making the decision to go to Tannehill it made him look like a genius.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and he probably could have done it quicker because Mariota was playing like shit.
He really was. That when I went to that game in Nashville, like no way in hell the Bills deserved to win that game.
No.
Oh boy, Cairo Santos missing 35-yard chip shots.
Yes, yeah, I remember watching that game. Yeah, they snuck out of there with a win. The Buffalo's. They have a chance to be great next year if they can get some more offensive production.
Which
they got to they got to score more than 16 points a game.
Yeah, and I think that comes down to getting a tall number one wide receiver. That can catch the ball in crucial situations. They put Duke Williams on the roster for the playoff game, and he needed to catch a couple balls in those tight spots, like that one in the end zone.
Yeah.
I really wanted to see him catch that ball, and he had an opportunity to, and he didn't.
Right. I know exactly which one you were talking about. I think they need to get a receiver in the draft, but I think they need a veteran, big, tall, number one veteran receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the cap to go get one.
They do.
But I've been seeing a lot of these mock drafts coming from Bills fans and Bills supporters and stuff like that, and seeing them taking a wide receiver in the first round and then a running back in the second round. I think that's so stupid.
Well, that's why you don't listen to the Bills Mafia, because half the time they don't know what they're talking about.
They if they don't take an offensive lineman in the first or second round, they're really missing out. They need an offense. They need a better offensive line.
They do, and the offensive line is drastically better than what it was a season ago.
Right, yes. And they just need to make that next step. Yeah. They need I think Cody Ford will develop. I think he'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they need someone on that left side now.
They need a good veteran, and they need to draft somebody.
Yep.
But yeah, if they can improve their offensive line, get a number one wide receiver, I think their offense could probably put up 30 points a game.
And I don't know what wide receivers are available as far as free agents go this year. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head.
There's got to be somebody there. I mean,
There's got to be somebody will be
AJ available. AJ Green's available.
That would be a great fit. Oh my God, he's a monster when he's healthy. That would be great. And then if they drafted a guy, imagine they had AJ Green, John Brown, Cole Beasley, and they draft like a young receiver,
Jerry Judy,
or what's the guy from Clemson, T. Higgins?
Yeah, even that guy from Notre Dame, Claypool.
Yeah, Chase Claypool. Yeah, yeah. If they could imagine that receiver core, that would be a damn good receiving core. And you sprinkle in there, you know, Duke Williams. Duke Williams is a good receiver.
He's good.
He should have been active way more than he was this year. I was shocked.
You want to know why he was on the practice squad?
Why?
Because he was dropping those balls in crucial situations. You can't put a guy out there who's going to drop footballs.
Yeah, it's true. But he's got but think about some of the catches. When it wasn't crucial, he was making some great catches.
He was making great catches, but you don't need inconsistency out there. If you can develop a guy on the practice field and he really needs it, it's just you can't it's a liability to put him on the field. He was on the field in that playoff game because they needed a tall guy that they could throw the ball up to and pray that he can catch the ball.
Right.
You know? So him being on the practice squad, I'm not too upset about. It got him some good development, and maybe next year he'll be full time.
They need to develop Dawson Knox a little bit more too. He could be a monster.
He's a stud, dude.
Yeah, he could be a monster.
He's a stud. He's so strong.
They could have not anything close to the Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez thing, but they could have something like that if they could get Tyler Kroft healthy and then develop Dawson Knox. Tyler Kroft's a good tight end.
Or even Tommy Sweeney, too.
Yeah, Tommy Sweeney. I forgot he's on that roster. Like, I think when I commented on your Facebook post and was like, guarantee the Bills go 7-9 next year. I didn't really mean that. Yeah. I was trying to get under your skin. I think really the Bills probably – they have a chance to win the division. I think they might win the division next year. But they have a chance to be a top two seed, in my opinion, if they can really get the last couple pieces that they need. I liked what Brandon Bean said, that they're not just one player away, so they're not going to break the bank on anybody. But at the same time, you're not 10 players away. You're three or four players away, three or four positions away.
Yep.
From being a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
And they do need some help on the defensive side. Even though the defense was pretty good, they need to tackle better.
Yeah.
Way better than what they did.
Yeah, I agree.
So they need some guys that can, tackle.
Yeah. Well, and you lose Lorenzo Alexander. He didn't have a huge year this year, but, I mean, that's obviously a loss of veteran
leadership.
And, I mean, he was a talented guy. Even this year, he was still pretty good. So there's a little bit of a loss there. And then you got some free agents that you gotta shore up, like Shaq Lawson and Phillips, right? He's a free agent.
Harrison Phillips?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's a free agent.
No, I believe he had more than 2 years on his rookie contract.
Yeah, I could be wrong. But I thought that was one of the names I saw. You know, so there's some couple guys you got to share.
Oh, maybe Jordan Phillips.
Jordan Phillips, yeah. That's who it was. Yes, it was Jordan Phillips.
He deserves to make a couple bucks here.
Yeah, Shaq Lawson's got to make some bucks. He had a great year this year.
Imagine how much the Bills are going to spend on Tre'Davious White.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They got to pay him as a top two, top three corner in the league because he is. Although DeAndre Hopkins made him look a little dumb in the second half of that game.
He made Hopkins look dumb in the first half.
Right. I think Hopkins just warmed down a little bit in the second half.
Yeah.
When when they weren't getting the pressure on Watson in the second half like they did in the first half. When you got to cover a guy, when you have to cover a guy for, you know, 5 or 6 seconds rather than 3 or 4 seconds, it's a lot different.
Yeah, the Bills could have done a little bit better putting the ball in the end zone too. They had a lot of opportunities.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And that bogus call.
The blindside block. Well, I know what you're talking about.
I'll get to that, but that's the kickoff where he didn't take a knee.
Yeah.
That's a touchdown.
I agree. I agree 100%. That's a touchdown. Me and my dad are watching the game. We're like, by rule, they're out there talking about it. By rule, that is a touchdown. I get it that, you know that most of the time you don't have to go down on a full knee, but he didn't even, and he made no motion towards the knee. He just started walking and threw the ball.
Yeah, literally the only thing he did was move his arms up to the side a little bit, which that's not even a signal for a fair catch. If you signal for a fair catch, that, you know, obviously it's a touchback, but he didn't do any of that. The only thing he did was start walking, and the referee's like, I don't want the ball. You got to take a knee or something.
If you don't want to catch it, they put the rule in place now where you don't have to. If it lands in the end zone,
it's a touchback.
It's not live. Yeah. Yeah, it's not live anymore. They put that rule in place for that. Just let it go.
I think that's just a crime that they took that away from the Bills.
It was a bad look for the NFL to have those the referees, the head refs, or whatever you call them, on the sidelines with the black jackets
running out there.
It's an awful look for the NFL to have them run out there and change a call to the refs who are in the middle of the game. I thought that was such an awful look for the NFL to have them do that, because I've never seen that before. I've seen refs go to the sideline to talk to them, and converse a little bit with them, but I've never seen them run out onto the field to tell that ref to change the call.
Terrible.
I've never seen it. It's a bad look for the NFL. And there was a lot of people that were calling, saying that the NFL was trying to rig games, because when you got guys on the sideline that run over and make the ref who's in the, that you're paying to make calls for you in the middle of a game to go take care of a situation, to have those black coat refs to run out there and change a call, it does make you ask some questions. Because I can think of 50 other scenarios that were probably worse scenarios than that I didn't see those guys run out on the field.
Yeah.
Think about the touchdown, the non-touchdown, the Steelers and the Patriots a couple of years ago. In like 2017, where Jesse James caught the ball and reached over the end zone and fumbled or whatever. I didn't see the refs run, those black coat refs run out there and to talk to the refs about that situation.
Or when Kelvin Benjamin caught that ball in the back of the end zone a couple years ago in New England.
That's the same year.
Yeah. There was three different situations on plays just like that happened against New England. And they all worked in New England's favor when they should have all been touchdowns.
Yep. Yeah, it was a bad look for the NFL.
And that's why, they're in cahoots with, teams like New England,
Yeah, that's something I don't think it's being talked about enough, but maybe I'm making a bigger deal about it than it really is. But I watching that, I was disgusted. I thought that was a bad
one. And I was 100% disgusted on the Cody Ford block.
Right. Why weren't the Black Jackets out there discussing that one with him? Because that was an awful call.
I mean,
he basically just stood in front of the guy and bumped him. I mean, and it was his face. He hit him in the front. Yeah. It's not like he hit him in the back or on the shoulder or in the side or anything like that. He hit him face to face, and he basically just stood there and popped him once with his arms.
And I mean, I guess the only case they have is he came back to make a block.
But he was chasing Allen down. He was running down.
You're allowed to block people in football, I thought, right?
That's what I thought, especially a guy who's probably going to run him down from behind.
Yeah, he was right there. He was going to tackle him. That's what I was saying.
Yes.
If you're not allowed if you're not allowed to block somebody in football,
Yeah, they have to take a look at that rule. That was awful.
And don't get me wrong, I think the Bills should have won despite the bad officiating.
Oh, right. That's exactly what Coach McDermott said.
But that did not help. Because that was an important part of the game. The Bills had a chance to kick a field goal to win the game right there.
Oh, they were, yeah, they were definitely at least going to line up for the game-winning
field. I mean, absolutely. Who knows if Hauschka was going to make a 53-yarder, but.
But it's not out of the question. Yeah. It's certainly in his range.
I mean, he could make a 53-yarder. He was kicking some pretty crucial field goals in that game.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously the field goal kicking in the playoffs so far this year has been pretty superb. Yeah,
been very good.
Yeah, but all right, Dom. Well, you know we got into a lot more than we expected. We talked for a little longer we were expecting, but it was good to catch up with us being off for a couple weeks to talk about some things that we didn't get a chance to talk about at that time. So
for sure. You know, I think our viewers are going to be very happy with what we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah, and it's nice to get another episode out there after being off for a couple weeks. And like I said, me and Dom will be as consistent as we can be. You know, there will be weeks where we don't get one in. There'll be weeks where there'll be a month where we'll go every week we're getting an episode in. It's just kind of hit or miss with us. We're going to do the podcast when we have time to, and. We always enjoy talking, and so it's not that we don't want to. It's just sometimes life gets in the way.
For sure.
So, yeah, we'll wrap it up here. JUCO Products, another episode there with CJ and Dom. I think we got to get a guest on here soon, Dom, and talk with us.
I think I know the couple perfect candidates for that one.
Yeah, I got a couple people in mind too, so stay tuned. We'll have a guest on here, maybe next episode, maybe one of the episodes coming down the road to talk with us. What do you want to sign off with, Don?
Everybody have a nice week, and go football.
And I'll sign off with always remember to finish your drink. Don't abuse alcohol, you filthy animals. All right, Dom. I'll talk to you later, buddy. See you later, everybody.